day after day, alone on a hill. The man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still, but nobody wants to know him. They can see that he's just a fool, and he never gives an answer but the fool.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing, and I'm joined by James Carville, political strategist and CNN contributor. For some time, James Carville, you've suggested before the economic hostage crisis resulted in what people say was a ransom payment. You were saying it was a rout. How long do you trace back this rout?
Well, it was evident from the get-go that the Republicans were willing to go to default to get what they wanted, and it was evident from the get-go that the president was going to give it to them. What I don't understand is why the White House embraced this. Sometimes the truth would have actually worked. If we had a choice between a bad plan that we didn't like, we already presented an altered plan that we liked, or a default, we chose the lesser of two evils here. But now the Republicans own the economy. Now we need to have an election. Is whose plan you would prefer? Their plan, which clobbers the middle class, which clobbers people who are working, or my plan, which asks most fortunate Americans to chip in a little bit, that made some investments, and at the same time reduce the deficit. Why embrace something that you know is no good, that you know is going to hurt the economy, that you never wanted in the first place? It doesn't make any sense to me. They should have signed it and then run against it.
Well, given that it's happened, I mean, there's an expression here in America that's quite common, which is nice guys finish last. And there's a sense amongst Democrats that they got whipped, and a sense of triumph amongst Republicans, where you have John Boehner saying we got 98% of what we wanted.
My question, Speaker, is what's the 2% you didn't get?
And you can build on that?
No, but my point is that this is a horrible plan. It's actually going to harm the economy. And whoever owned this economy in 2012 is at a distinct disadvantage. Why does the president take credit for this plan as opposed to telling him it's a Republican plan? We don't want any part of this. That's what I don't understand. Yes, Boehner got 98% of what he wanted. They have 98% of the responsibility for this economy now. See what I'm saying?
I absolutely see what you're saying. I don't know how he can sell it, though, because isn't the president in charge? Isn't he running on his record?
Doing, again, they were willing to use the debt ceiling to attain political ends and were willing to have the United States default for the first time in history. That was the lesser of two options. Why doesn't the president say that he has an alternate plan, just like Harry Truman ran against the do-nothing Congress in 1948, he can run against the do-the-wrong-thing Congress in 2012?
Well, the problem with this, James Carville, is that you're not doing strategy at the White House, and I wonder who is, because, for example, your old boss, President Clinton, said, why not invoke the 14th Amendment, which was set up after the Civil War because there was a concern that the Dixiecrats could take over the Republican Party and cancel the Civil War debt, and therefore they put it into the Constitution that you couldn't mess around with the debt ceiling for political purposes, which is exactly what they're doing. Now, not only did the president not take that option, he took it off the table.
Yeah, he said up front that he was taking it off the table, and then at the end they said no, he was prepared to use it. And by the way, not only did he take it off the table, he said his lawyers told him it was unconstitutional. Well, why would anyone go and say what my lawyer said? So you're hearing a lawsuit, and you said my lawyers told me I shouldn't do this, but I did it anyway. Well, that's not a very advantageous thing. You know, it's been remarked by someone that if Obama was playing strip poker, he'd show up in a Speedo.
But James Carville, how do you revive this party and its sense of defeat against a party that clearly has a scorched earth policy? Is this a cultural difference?
Why don't we say we know what they have done? Their plan is in effect. This is a John Boehner's America. Uh-huh. Why don't we present an alternative? Why are we asking the middle class, people who vote Democratic, to pay for people who vote Republicans' excesses? Why are they paying for wars and tax cuts and credit default swaps and tranches and everything else? That's what caused all of this.
I know, and I think that there's also a moral dimension here that could be used in an argument is why impoverish millions of your fellow Americans for some bizarre ideological mechanism? The real world cost of what they've done, this is what I don't understand. It's almost like the president signed a suicide pact. He's going to be running on a defeated economy.
Not only that, and again, it was their idea. It's 98% John Boehner's economy now. If you believe John Boehner.
Right.
I do. It also, in the end, this is going to cost you. This is not only is this not going to save and drive a nickel off the deficit, it's going to cost, because the increased borrowing costs, now that everybody has figured out that in the United States, Congress is willing to use the debt ceiling to achieve political ends, and this time was to decimate working people. The next time it might be to end abortion or anything that comes up. They're going to demand a premium for this. There was a technical default in 1979 that cost us 0.6 interest rate. On the interest rate, according to finance professors, 0.1 is $130 billion in additional borrowing costs. This is going to cost us money. It's going to save a nickel off this. It's hideous policy.
Well, is there a Pavlovian component here in our politics? How quickly do they have to feel the pain before they get motivated? Because the one statistic that I always keep in mind is that in 2008, 140 million people voted in this country, and it swept Obama and the Democrats in. 2 years later, in 2010, only 75 million voted. It's you can't be a bunch of whiners and complain that they've taken you to the cleaners if you don't vote.
Well, I think, but again, people need to be motivated to vote, and they weren't motivated. They got to see somebody standing something, you know, in being about something, and we're not doing that right now. But the Pavlovian effect here is they're calling my flight. If I don't go, I'm going to miss it.
Sure.
Call me again. Okay.
Well, let's talk again. I appreciate the time we had. Thank you. Bye-bye. Again, I've been speaking with James Carville, about to catch a plane. He's a strategist from the Clinton administration and a contributor to CNN.